Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church, Birmingham. My name is Richard Pidgley, and I'm the lead pastor at the church. Today, I'd like to talk to you about putting your life in God's hands. Now, in the front row, we have these lovely ladies who have all decided to follow Jesus. They are getting baptized today by full immersion in water. And you might ask, what is baptism? Well, it's a sign of an inner miracle that has already taken place in their lives. They've started a brand new life in putting their trust in Jesus. It's a show of faith because they are now totally identifying with Jesus. They are saying to everybody that they confess Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. It's also a symbolic burying of their old nature. Because when they go under the water, it's just like they're burying the old person that they used to be. The old nature, that's no longer them, because they've started a new life in Jesus. And in fact, they're taking a step of obedience in following Jesus. For the Bible says that we should repent of our sin, our wrongdoing, that we should turn to Christ and believe in him as the Saviour of the world. And then we should be baptised the Bible way by going fully under the water and coming back out of the water again. They put their lives into God's hands and now they're trusting him. It's a big decision to put your trust in somebody else. Sometimes we all have to do it in life though, like when you board an aeroplane, you have to put your trust in the pilot. You have to trust that as that pilot revs up the engines and you're buckled into your seat and the plane starts screaming down the runway, that the pilot will know just at the right time to take off, that you will take off before you hit the fence at the end of the runway. And you'll also have to trust the pilot that as the plane comes down at such a vast speed, that the pilot knows exactly when to put the wheels down and when to gently put the airplane back down on the tarmac again and apply the brakes so that the flight's over and you can safely disembark. Sometimes we have to put our life in other people's hands and it's difficult. I'm not keen on flying. Sometimes you have to put your life in other people's hands, like when you lie on the table in an operating theatre and they put gas and air on your face or inject you with something and you begin to feel sleepy, and just before you go to sleep you're thinking to yourself, I am trusting that surgeon to cut me open, to do what needs to be done on the inside, for him to stitch me back up again and for someone to revive me and bring me round again, and I will feel better for having a surgeon go into my body. Sometimes we have to put our life in other people's hands, like when we sit in a dentist chair and the chair tilts backwards and the dentist says, open up your mouth wide for me, and he gets his little drill and he gets his injection and he starts faffling around in your mouth. Hey, come on, let's be honest, we all hate going to the dentist. And yet the dentist does a great job for us, but we hate going for that experience. So we have to trust the dentist. You see, sometimes in life, we have to take a calculated risk. You calculate that a pilot, a surgeon, and the dentist have all been thoroughly trained and that their training is ongoing. As a young man, I took a risk of faith and put my life into God's hands. It was a calculated risk because I read the Bible for myself and I discovered in reading the Bible that there was a God in heaven that loved me. I discovered that Jesus died in my place on the cross to pay the price for my wrongdoings. I discovered that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sin and wrongdoing. He died so that I could be forgiven. He died so that I could be restored back to God. I was lost, but he wanted me to be found. I was far away from God, but he wanted to draw me near. And so I discovered that. I discovered that Jesus wanted to give me his friendship. He wanted me to experience his wonderful presence day by day, the closeness of his presence and friendship, and a real purpose in life. It was a calculated step of faith that led to a life of no regrets. And you ladies getting baptized today, I genuinely believe that you will never ever regret following Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour of your life. I want to encourage you and everybody else gathered here today to take a step of faith and put your entire lives in God's hands. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And if you have already done that, well, my encouragement to you is keep on trusting God. Now here's a great Bible verse which may help you make a calculated risk of faith in trusting God with your entire life. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Another translation says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. And when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree, I'll turn things around for you. Are you listening to this message today and thinking, I need things to turn around in my life? Right now, it's not working out. Right now, it seems a bit of a disaster. Right now, things are just falling down and caving in, and I just don't know what to do. I need change in my life. Well, God can turn things around. And all we need to do for that to happen is for us to engage our faith, to look to him and to believe that he can help us. And he certainly can. You see, God has plans for us. Nothing is haphazard. Trust me, all the events in our lives have a purpose. Now, I like doing jigsaw puzzles. And when I look at a box of a jigsaw puzzle, I look at the picture on the front of a box and I think, I'd like to do that. And so I'll get my jigsaw puzzle, often a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and I'll open up the box, and inside the box is a bag of a whole load of 1,000 little pieces, all different colours, all different shapes and sizes, and I'll cut the bag open, and then I'll tip all those pieces on a table. And when I do that, I think, man alive, what a mess. It's all over the place, and it looks a mess. Lots and lots of little pieces of picture, and you pick up one little piece and you can just about make out maybe a wheel of a car, or you can pick up another picture and you can just about make out maybe part of a sign on the building or whatever, and you get little kind of bits of the picture, but you certainly don't understand it all because it looks a mess. So many different colors and shapes, but all the different pieces link together for a purpose. They link together for a purpose to make a bigger picture. You see, God knows what he's doing with us, and he has a purpose for us. Romans chapter 8 tells us, for we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For circumstances and the different events in our lives may puzzle and concern us. However, God sees the big picture, and I want to encourage you today to trust him. God says, I know my plans for you. God says, I want the best for you. God says, hey, trust me. If we can take a step of faith and believe him, we can be at peace. Sometimes we get confused. You see, sometimes we see others that seem to have it all together. Yes, God has worked in their lives. Hey, and that's great for you. But what about me? I'm still confused. In fact, after listening to your faith story, I feel even more lost now than what I did before. I don't know if any of you have visited Hampton Court, but in the grounds of Hampton Court is a famous maze. The maze was planted in 1702 with paths that measure almost a mile long. Around the maze, it's relatively simple. However, many people still get lost in it. And there's a seat in the centre of the maze, presumably to rest after travelling through all those little corridors of the hedges. But how are you ever going to get out? Let's face it, it was difficult to find the middle. Now, how are you going to find your way out? Well, at the seat in the middle of the maze, there is a little table with a handbell. And all you have to do is ring the bell, and a man who knows the maze will come and rescue you. He will say, "I am the way, follow me." And all you have to do then is follow the man, and he will lead you out to freedom. You see, you may feel confused, you might feel lost, you might feel a prisoner to the maze, yet you have only to ring the bell and follow the man to freedom. The solution lies in that man. We can all get easily lost in the maze of life. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. By faith, we can ring the bell of prayer, and Jesus will come to us, and he'll lead us to freedom. He'll give us purpose and an amazing future. He'll give us even the hope of heaven. God has plans to bless you. You say, "How can you possibly say that? You don't even know me." You're right. I don't really know you. But I do know God. I know that God is good. Everything about God is 100% good. That's why the Bible tells us, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who puts his trust in him." Consider this. God has plans to bless you with his pardon. God knows that you've fallen into sin and wrongdoing, and yet he still loves you. He wants to forgive you. God has plans to bless you with his presence. Jesus died so that he wouldn't have to live without you. He wants to be your forever friend and a companion in life. God has plans to make provision for you. You see, God owns everything. And the Bible tells us that the riches of his glory are ours as we put our trust in Jesus. God wants to give you purpose to know God even more and to make him known to others. And God wants to fill your life with his power. Jesus said, "You will receive power after I give you my Holy Spirit." So we don't have to be weak. We don't have to be going through life thinking, "What's it all about?" We don't have to be worried about our daily bread. We don't have to be feeling alone. We don't have to be feeling guilty about our sin, because God gives pardon, presence, provision, purpose, and power. His plans are to bless us and to give us a future that's worth living in. We need to trust him, and we need to take those blessings. I heard a story once, a sad story, about a boy who'd lost his parents. They died tragically together, and so the boy was left as an orphan. The boy went to live with his only surviving relative, his grandmother. And for a while, everything was great. The grandmother loved the boy, prayed with him, read the Bible to him, and met all the needs that he had as a little youngster. And then one night, a terrible tragedy struck. There was a fire in the house. The fire broke out downstairs and soon swept through the downstairs of the house. The flames were so hot that the downstairs windows broke open, and the flames leapt up the side of the building. And in all this terrible smoke and flames, tragically, the grandmother perished. By the time she'd perished, the townsfolk had gathered around because the whole night sky had been lit up, and the smell of the smoke and the noise of the timbers as they were cracking and groaning in the heat of the fire. Everybody was there watching. And then, to their horror, they saw the little boy banging on his window. He was in an upstairs room trying desperately to get out, trapped in the flames, trapped by the fire, and literally just moments away from his own death. Some people tried to get close to the house, but it was just so hot they were beaten back by the flames, And people thought, this is it, this little boy is going to die in front of us. And then suddenly a figure just broke out of the crowd and went to the side of a house and began to climb up the drain pipe up the side of a house that was adjacent to the upstairs window where the boy was. The drain pipe was very, very hot with the heat of the flames. And as this man began to climb the drain pipe, his hands were getting terribly burnt as he went up the drain pipe. But he shinned up the drain pipe and managed to break open the window, grab hold of the little boy, and then carry him to safety. Once they were on the ground, there was a great cheer from the crowd, and the man presented the boy to the crowd and then simply disappeared. The next day, after the smoke had finished and the flames had gone, the town met to decide what would happen to this little boy who now had nobody. Somebody needed to take care of him. And so as they discussed this as a whole town, different people began to give their reasons why they should look after the little boy. The baker said, as he reached out to the boy, "I can look after you. I will feed you with lovely, delicious, mouth-watering donuts." But the butcher said, "Hang on a second." He said, "I can look after the boy." And he reached out to him with great big sausages and said, "You'll never go hungry, and I'll build you up with sausages and steak." The tailor said, "Hang on a second, I would like to look after the boy." And he reached out to him and said, "I will make you lovely clothes, so you'll be the best young man in the town." And then the teacher said, "Well, hang on, why should all you have some kind of hold on this boy? I would like to look after him." And so the teacher reached out to him with books and said, "I will educate you, and I will help you to have understanding and fill your mind with knowledge so that you can have a good career in life." And as they were all arguing about who should look after this boy and who was worthy to be able to look after the boy and for the boy to put his trust and love into them, suddenly a stranger appeared in the crowd, and he said, "I will look after the boy. I will love him, and I will take care of him, and I will take care of him all his life." And everybody turned round and they looked at the stranger and thought, "Hey, we don't know you. Who are you? What right do you have to say that you will look after this boy, that you will love him, and that you will take the boy into your arms? Why should you reach out to the boy?" And then the stranger simply reached out his hands towards this small boy. And as he did that, the boy saw the terrible scars on his hands from the burn climbing up the drainpipe the night before. And the little boy recognised those hands that had reached out to save him from the terrible fire. And the boy leapt up into the stranger's arms and gave him a great big hug. Maybe you're listening to me today and you're not yet a Christian. I'd encourage you, leap into the arms of Christ. Admit that you've gone wrong. Believe that he loved you and he died for you so that you could be rescued from the flames of eternal punishment. Call on him in prayer and ask him into your life. You see, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you a Christian here? Have you already put your trust in Christ? Well, I would encourage you, stay in his arms. Live the life that he has purposed for you. The Bible teaches us this, that God will never take us where his grace cannot keep you. God will never take us where his arms cannot support you. God will never take us where the riches of his glory cannot supply your needs, and where the power of God cannot strengthen you. He is worthy of all our trust. Sometimes we need to take a calculated risk of trust and faith. But having read the Bible for myself, I'm glad to say I have decided to put my trust in Jesus. And these ladies getting baptized have decided to put their trust in Jesus. And if you are here today and you've never made that decision, I hope by what I've said, it will give you something to think about, that you too should and could put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for listening.